Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's been a minute since we talked to the mighty Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline, or really any hotline for that matter. But here, of course, it is always the West Her Hotline. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday. And Paul Hamilton joins me now live on said West Her Hotline. Paul, what's shaking, man? How are you?
Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley, and Dean Memminger.
Paul, are you on another line talking to someone? Like, what?
Well, I just heard in the sports that the last time the New York Knicks won the championship was 1973.
Okay. Good job. Yeah, good. I was eight. All right. Yeah. Good deal. All right.
Guys like Walt Frazier and Willis Reed.
Yeah. Been a minute. And,
Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah. No, I remember all of them. I mean, I can't give you a chapter and verse on them all, but I
against Jerry West.
Yeah. Well, Paul, thanks. Do you hate Mitch Marner?
I don't like the idea. He might be a very nice person. He's a very good offensive hockey player, but he's not what the Buffalo Sabres need. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres were 10th in the league in scoring at 3.23 goals per game. If you got up to 3.26 goals per game, they're seventh in the league in scoring. I mean,
Mitch Marner can do that for him, Paul.
What the problem with the Buffalo Sabres is they're 29th in the league in defense, and they have goaltenders that can't make a big save at a big time for them, and they need players that can jump into your top six. I have a better idea than Mitch Marner. How about Sam Bennett or Marchand, who have won cups, who can play in your top six, who can play offensively and defensively, can upset the other team? They will get the other team upset instead of the Sabres having to react. Other teams will have to react to the Sabres. That's the types of players that they need, and they're winners. You know, they're winners. They can play both ends of the ice. They're tough to play against. They score goals in big games. They're leaders. I mean, and people, well, they're not coming to Buffalo. Well, is Mitch Marner
right.
coming to Buffalo?
This entire conversation requires a certain level of suspension of disbelief that like maybe the gyrations aren't even worth the time, but you know, whatever. Here's the thing about, I don't disagree with you about Bennett or Marchand even at this stage. The thing is, I think everyone agrees. Marner is, you know, Paul, I'm trying to get through a day here. Marner... Marner, people are, I think, going to overreact to Marner. A part of my thinking is a player that looks flawed in one place, and I recognize Toronto is not Buffalo, okay? So it's not exactly apples and apples. But you've seen guys who acquired reputations for sulking and not being able to pull it together, even though they had a very talented roster and all these different things. They go elsewhere and they fly and they're free. I'm not predicting for sure that will happen with Mitch Marner, but to me, getting out from under Toronto and all the expectations could be extremely good for him. And as far as his, you know, one-sided type player, he was a Selke Trophy finalist 2 years ago. And he plays on the penalty kill. This is not just a one-dimensional player entirely.
I disagree. I think he is a one-dimensional player. I think he makes them worse defensively, not better. They'll probably be 30th or whatever defensively. Especially watching him in the playoffs, some of the things he's done defensively in the playoffs, I'm shaking my head. What are you doing? What I mean, you're just wandering around. You're not even paying attention. You know, I've said that out loud as I'm watching him. It's like, what in the world are you doing? And so, to me, you know, I don't care if he was a Selke Trophy candidate or whatever.
It's not whatever. I mean, it's the best defensive forward in hockey. Now, he didn't win it, but to be nominated, was everybody sniffing glue that year? I mean, I don't understand why.
By what, the Canadian media? Or, you know, I just
– okay.
I'm not on board with it. I'm
all
just
right.
not.
Right.
And I think they become a worse defensive team on a team that has to be better defensively. All right, so he shows up, and instead of being 10th in the league in scoring, you're 7th in the league in scoring or 6th in the league in scoring. Great. Now what? I still don't have a goalie that can make a save. I still don't have a team that plays well defensively, and I've just sunk $12-13 million into that.
Oh, keep going. 14, 50, whatever, yeah. Whatever the max is what it would cost anyway.
Paul, can I interest you in a bunch of six-five
wins? That's what I'm after. Right?
Yeah. I would rather go with the established winning players that can also score goals, maybe can't get 100 points, but allows me to put Zach Benson in Rochester and put a very decent hockey player into my top six that is going to be good offensively and good defensively and can score the big goal at the big time and have been winners and are abrasive to play against. And I would just rather have that player. I think that's the player the Sabres need a lot more than just, and I'm just going to say it, a one-dimensional offensive type guy.
Well, I love that you have chosen to not respect the Selke Trophy finalist thing because it certainly helps your argument and hurts mine. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I the fact that he plays on the penalty kill and was nominated for that, to me, flies in the face of the reputation.
They don't have anybody else to play in the penalty kill. They got all offensive forwards.
Are you kidding me? Pontus Holmberg can't kill penalties?
Well, yeah.
Jan Kruk or whoever these people are? What are you talking about?
They did change it around this year. They were better defensively this year as a team. That game against Buffalo here in Buffalo, did the Sabres even have a scoring chance all night? I mean, they just shut it down and got great goaltending. So, yeah, they were better defensively this year, definitely. But at the end of the day, when they needed to be good defensively – in a game seven, they certainly weren't.
Holy cow. Paul, we can table the, you know, the Marner thing is going to be there. That is going to be evergreen until July 1st when he signs, you know, with Tampa or whatever's going to happen, wherever he ends up going. Really, though, one last thing. The point to me is the way I phrased it to begin with, like if, because I don't think any of these people are going to be interested in signing with the Buffalo Sabres, like any of the names you mentioned here, Bennett and Marchand, who, again, I'll say it again just in case anyone didn't catch it. I'm sure you did. I agree with you. That style of player is certainly in line with what I need. I'm just saying, if Marner actually wanted to talk to me, I'm not hanging up the phone. Like, I'm not going to feel too proud to take that call and consider signing him, despite him not being the best fit, because I need to do something to change the narrative around this team. And he's, you know, someone that I think could certainly do that. Anyway, Paul, games 5 and 7 in Toronto. Have you – Mike said it great after game 5 on Wednesday, Thursday in here. He said, it's got to be the worst sporting event you've ever attended if you were there. And I would agree. And then maybe last night only trumps it because you got the game 6 to give you hope again. And then here comes game 7, and it's really – I've never seen a team after the handshakes when a series is over gather at center ice to salute the fans and get booed. I mean, that was brutal. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. I mean, those two games, Paul, I just can't even explain it.
And the thing about it is it's not just this year. I mean, it keeps happening over and over and over and over again. And it's so that's, I think, what makes it even worse, that you've got guys that perform very well in the regular. I mean, Austin Matthews is one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League in the regular season. And then he gets to the playoffs, and where is he? We need a goal. It's game five. It's game seven. Where is he? Where are all these guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are very, very good in the regular season. And as we said, they were a better defensive team this year. Thinking, okay, we've made ourselves better defensively. We have a goaltender that's playing very, very well for us. Unfortunately, that goaltender got hurt, but we'll wound up with a shutout along the way. And I don't think he's as good as Stolarz was, but I'm not sure Stolarz would have changed this around. We don't know. We'll never know. But that's the thing. I think that's what makes it worse. Is it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs trying to figure out what are you going to do, what makes you think sticking with it is going to make a change all of a sudden?
So what do you think moving forward here? Not for the Leafs entirely. I mean, I think their decisions will be largely made for them by guys hitting the market, though I guess maybe Tavares might want to stay, and they'll have a choice to make there if they want to keep going down that road. Really will depend on whether they can attract one of the players you've mentioned here, because Sam Bennett seems like a perfect ready-made replacement for Tavares on the free agent market. Should he get to the market, we'll see how that all shakes out. But we've got Florida and Carolina in the East, Dallas and Edmonton in the West. Three of the four from last year. Only the Rangers were in the Carolina spot last year. What do you think of the field left?
It's interesting that in the NHL, the overall placement of these teams, you got Team 5 in Dallas, Team 9 in Edmonton, Team 10 in Carolina, and Team 11 in Florida. And even in the NBA, you do have Team 1 in Oklahoma City. But then you got to go down to Team 5 with the Knicks, Team 6 with Indiana, and Team 10 with Minnesota. So in both leagues, the higher seeds for the most part are than in Oklahoma City, yep, and in Dallas if you want it. It just goes to show you, and Tampa did the same thing. Tampa didn't care if they won the division. They didn't care if they won the President's Trophy or any of that kind of stuff. It's like, let's get ready for the playoffs. That's what the regular season. For those teams, it's an 82-game preseason. It's like, let's make sure we get in the playoffs. But we don't care where we get in. Let's just play, you know? And Florida's 11th. Are they the 11th best team in the National Hockey League? No. But that's the way they hung out, and that's what Tampa did for those years, too. They just hung out, made the playoffs. They didn't care. It doesn't really matter if you're home ice or not. I mean, the road team wins quite a bit in the playoffs, and I think that's what we're seeing now is teams, you know, good teams are just like, yeah, that's nice to win a President's Trophy. Congratulations. We don't care. We want to hang the big banner up there, and we're going to get ready to play for that big banner, and I think that's what we're seeing now. As far as Carolina, I feel like Jacques Lemaire has re-entered the league. I probably would rather do chores in the backyard than watch Carolina play.
I hated every minute of that Washington-Carolina series that I watched. I even would say, like, Owen would be in the kitchen, you know, grabbing something to drink or whatever. I'd be like, I hate watching these teams play. This is terrible.
And I understand, and people are right. Well, they win.
Yeah.
They haven't won the cup yet, but they're in the top four.
Yeah.
So it's working for them to play this way. It worked for the New Jersey Devils as Jacques Lemaire systematically ruined the National Hockey League by winning a couple of Stanley Cups that way and then making other teams think, well, we got to play that way. No, we don't have to play that way. Why don't we just play some hockey that we actually can enjoy instead of playing that way? And Carolina plays that way, and if they happen to win the Stanley Cup, then all of a sudden, here we go. We're going right back to Jacques Lemaire and the Devils. Fire Lindy Ruff and get Jacques Lemaire in here and hire – you know, Lou Lamoriello, and here we go. And, you know, it's just I just do not enjoy watching Carolina play at all.
Paul, that's coming across. Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline here for a few more minutes. How do you feel about the Amherst at this point, Paul? 1-1, and what are we, Wednesday, Friday again?
Yeah, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if necessary.
All in Laval. Yeah.
I know fans are going to say stop making excuses for them, but watching game one, I got just what I expected. The Amherst hadn't played in 13 days. You know, Levi's leaving rebounds out in the slot, and they're not good defensively. It's a 5-4 game. It's just not Amherst hockey. I mean, they just had to get themselves back into playoff form and back going again. And by game two, it was back. They played very well, even in the first period. They limited opportunities for Laval, played very, very well. I mean, Laval had 7 shots in the first period. I think 3 of them came in the last 30 seconds. I think they had 4 before that. By the end of the day, Levi only had to look at 19 shots. Even though he gave up 3, there were tips and things like that. I don't think really you would have blamed him on any of the goals. He played well. I mean, he was back to being what we had seen him throughout the season, and the Amherst were back playing the way they're very capable. And let's face it, I mean, Laval had the best record in the American Hockey League. You're not going to win 3 straight games there. They had to win that game at home, game 2, and they did a great job. You watch the 4 goals that they scored, all guys going to the net, multiple guys at the net, guys like Isak Rosén. I mean, he's on the wall. He wins 3 battles going to the net and then just keeps the puck alive in the crease. He just sticks his stick in there and keeps it alive so Rusick can tap it into the net. And there's Rusick at the net too. And it's just like that's what you want to see, you know. You know, what is Rosén, about 175 pounds soaking wet? But, he's up against a 200-pound guy winning battles all the way to the net, and that's the way they scored their goals, and that's the way they play. Mike Leone has that team playing very, very well, and it'll be now it just becomes a best 2 out of 3, unfortunately, for the Amherst. All 3, well, maybe not unfortunately, because the Amherst are one of the better road teams in the American Hockey League. So they're comfortable playing on the road. So maybe it's not that big of a deal for them to have to go there and win 2 out of 3 games.
How much, like Laval, the season series, we had Kevin Aklubja on Friday, Paul, and he mentioned how the season series had been very heavily in favor of Laval. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, and I think I brought this up with you last week when we started to have an idea about what the field looked like and who they might be matching up with here, whether physically they would be able to handle it. And is there somewhat of a mismatch there between these two teams, or is it not that pronounced?
No, they're a bigger team, and they're not as goony and rough and tough as Syracuse is. That was a good start for Rochester to play them, because it's just a goon squad. I mean, it looks you think like you're watching some version of Slapshot watching them, and the Amherst stood up. The Amherst basically said, go ahead, you guys hit us in the back of the head and take us head first into the wall. We'll score on the power play, and we'll beat you in 3 games, and you guys can then go home. And that's basically what happened. You know, the Syracuse didn't stop playing like that. Rochester couldn't have cared less. And they played their game, and they won in 3 games. And that's what I saw in game 2 there and game 1. They didn't back down in game 1. But game 2 also, it's not – Laval isn't – They're big, and they'll slap you around a little bit, but they're not like Syracuse. And, the Amherst are fine with it. They stood up to it. As I said, you know, they're right in there with the scrums. They're not backing down to anything. They're at the net, which got them 4 goals and then an empty netter because they're at the net. They don't care if you get cross-checked or whatever. It's like, fine, you do what you have to do. We'll do what we have to do, and we'll let our skill take over.
Did you enjoy the Subway Series, Paul?
Yes, I actually was taping the game yesterday so I could watch it after the hockey game. So I didn't know that Bellinger had hit a grand slam to like 1:30 in the morning when I was sitting there watching it. So that was fun to see. That would be a great World Series.
What impressive! You avoided the result of your favorite baseball team's game until what, 11:30 at night? That's incredible.
Well, I just stay off Twitter. I don't need to be on Twitter as I'm watching a hockey game.
But what about all my witty observations, Paul?
Well, I catch up eventually, but yeah. I got to be done with the baseball game before I can start catching. You know, I do that. I do that sometimes with Bills games. You know, I've actually been on the road when a Bills game has started and basically have been able to avoid the result till I get home that night and can watch the game and have no idea what happened in the game. It's not easy to do, especially with our guys around you that are interested in the game.
Right.
But I have pulled that off before to be able to do that. And sometimes I hate commercials. So sometimes on a Sunday, like a road game starts at 1 o'clock, I'll go shopping, go get groceries or whatever. And then, you know, I'm DVR in the game. And when I get home, about, I don't know, 2:15, 2:30, I kick off. And then I can fast forward through commercials and everything. And basically, by the time I'm done, I finish the game around the same time everybody else does. But, you know,
listen to this guy.
Well, you know, Twitter is not my favorite thing in the world. So staying off Twitter is not a hard thing for me to do. So especially on a football game like that, stay off Twitter.
I am like you on Bills game days for sure. Like the game starts and I try not to be there because, you know, everything is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, as soon as there's a 3-and-out or whatever. And I just, that overreaction, I don't need that in my brain space, generally speaking. So I try to avoid that while the game is on,
and,
obviously.
And, you know, with Bills fans, the Bills have never committed a penalty in the history of the franchise. And you know, that's fine. But to me, the refereeing is just horrendous in the NHL. It's in the NFL.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's horrendous for everybody. I mean, I can sit there and pick out, you know, a lot of penalties that the Bills should have gotten or a lot of penalties that the Sabres should have gotten. And a lot of penalties that didn't go their way, too. It's horrendous refereeing.
Well,
so I don't need to read about how the Bills got screwed by the referees and all that. No, everybody gets screwed by the referees, not just the Bills. Yeah, the Bills did.
Equal opportunity.
And so did everybody
screwers else. Yeah, right. Well, I wanted to just squeeze in real quick, Paul, that I did not appreciate the Yankee fans being so rude to Juan Soto. So I'm sure you love that, but I didn't feel like that was very polite.
I think he was genuinely surprised
that they treated him that way.
By that ESPN game, he was basically just standing out there like a deer in headlights. He, you know how he likes to have fun and interact, and he did that in the first game, and it wasn't working. And he started like going out at the last possible second to take his place in the outfield. He'd stay in the dugout. Everybody else is out there warming up, and he's still in the dugout. And just out there, he did not look like he enjoyed it at all. out there. And I think he was rather surprised. He got the greeting. I don't know why. I think he was in New York long enough to know how fans react to things out
right.
there.
Right, yeah.
But he, to me, maybe I'm wrong, but just looking at him, he seemed genuinely surprised he was being treated that way.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot for this. I'm sure we'll catch up later in the week with the Amherst playing on Wednesday and on Friday. Be well, buddy.
Thanks. Take care.
That's our Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline and his appearances here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll hit up a timeout. 803-0550 is the number. You want to talk a little more about something Paul and I talked about. Mitch Marner isn't a free agent idea. Paul likes other ideas more. You know, I don't think any of it's going to be worth much because I don't think any of them are realistic. thus is life as a Sabres fan and observer. 803-0550 is the number. The guest train will continue in about half an hour. Brian Koziel will be with me to pour over the second major of the season, won by Scotty Scheffler yesterday at Quail Hollow outside Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll talk about all that with Brian at 6, but time for your calls between now and then, again, at 803-0550. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR. What? I'm ready. I was here. I'm sorry. It's needed a second. I found that I don't like how I look without my glasses on. And, you know, I know there's, you know, maybe as many as a dozen people watching this stream. So I feel like I wanna have my glasses on. I wanna present, you know, but if I put my headphones on before I put my glasses on, it's hard to put my glasses on. And what I did there, the music started playing, and I remember Zach had said a few minutes ago, I actually did remember, no clip, you know, it's not going to be an audio clip, it's just going to be music coming in. So I knew, okay, get ready. I put my headphones on, I have my glasses on, I take my headphones off. But that was the delay. You didn't need to know any of this, really. I wish I didn't know. I you know, sometimes stuff just comes out. I don't know, I can't explain it. Good to have you with us, though, by the way. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Shope is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Zach Jones is here as well. I was just looking, by the way, I was a little distracted because I wanted to look. I think, and I got to confirm this with Mike, I don't look at these odds that often, and nor do I have them memorized. But I feel like for a while as the playoffs were getting going, Carolina had – If it wasn't the most favorable odds to make it to the final, it might have even been to win the cup because the path looked, you know, pretty convenient. And I'll bet some of that, well, it certainly was the matchups, their side of the bracket, Montreal, Washington. You know, as it turned out, I mean, you know, of course they had Montreal in the first round, so that was their matchup. They didn't have to draw Washington in round two, but they did. Oh, no, excuse me. I got that wrong. Washington played Montreal. Who did Carolina beat in the first round? I have that open here. I'm sorry. I'm botching the point.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, right, without Jack Hughes. So easy first two rounds. So, you know, if they're likelier to get through than any of the other teams, their odds for, you know, potentially winning the cup are going to be more favorable. Well, now that's changed. They are the last choice on the board. It's close. It's not a huge gap or anything. Florida's the favorite, plus 240. Edmonton has the same, plus 240. Dallas is plus 280. And Carolina plus 300. And I think... I think that's right. I think Dallas is the best team left, but we'll see. I mean, Edmonton is that's going to be a big challenge. They lost to this team last year in the conference final. They didn't have Rantanen, so we'll see how much of a difference that makes. But I like Dallas. I'm also I'm a Dallas investor. I have one of those ridiculous championship parlays going, and Dallas to win the cup is, and now I can't for some reason log into my account because I'm a moron. I'm not going to be able to tell you. I know who the teams are. I would have liked to give you all the odds. But it's Dallas to win the Cup, Oklahoma City to win the NBA title. So yesterday and Saturday were good days for me. Right? I mean, Dallas wins in six against Winnipeg and makes it to this conference final against Edmonton, And I needed Oklahoma City to get past Denver, and they bludgeoned them in Game 7. So they did it, and they get to match up here now with Ant and the Timberwolves. And, we'll see what happens in the East here with the Knicks and the Pacers. But I'm alive. I'm halfway home in both the NBA and the NHL championship rounds with those choices, Dallas and Oklahoma City, to win. I have those two paired up with the Mets in Major League Baseball, which is why I'm so sensitive to Juan Soto being treated meanly by the Yankee fans, because I'm a big Met fan now, and, of course, the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Those are the four, and I can't remember if I put 10 or 20 on it, but it's going to pay $37,000 if it comes through. It's obviously it's a super long shot bet, but that's the kind of stuff I love. What I mostly am hoping for, I will consider it money well spent if we get absolutely through these first two, which, we're a few weeks out from both the NHL and NBA crowning champions. If I get Dallas and Oklahoma City, I am going to be impossible to deal with by the fall. Really all summer, because I will be going over to Howard Simon's house to watch the Mets with him, and be riddled with the anxiety that Howard has been living with, and many other Met fans as well, for all these years, because I will be, for the first time in my life, pretty seriously invest. I mean, it's not a lot of money that I'm out if it doesn't happen, but obviously the payoff is massive. So I will have a lot of Mets anxiety, I anticipate, over the summer. Again, if we get there, no rush. Again, halfway there. Each of my teams in the NHL and the NBA have won two rounds. They each have two rounds to go, so I'm hardly a made man in this area, but still, each step pretty big. So I'm alive, at least. That's all I can ask for today. Josh is first up this segment. Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
This is my favorite station on YouTube. I am so glad and fortunate I found the station. I've been a Sabre fan. I've been a Buffalo sports fan for years. I live in East Coast of Canada, again, in Newfoundland, and bragging about Buffalo sports here. Believe you me, I'm often by myself in high praise. Bulldog, you're right. You do need the glasses. Thank you for putting those on for all of us in the YouTube chat, including myself. Mitch Marner, guys, listen, Mitch Marner, why do we want him here? What we need here, guys, in Buffalo are character guys. We need leaders. We need guys who want to play for the Sabres, enjoy the city, and want to see the drought continue and be part of something special. And I don't know if Mitch Marner, back against the wall, I don't know if he's that type of character guy we're looking for. In addition, Lindy Ruff, love having him back. I do enjoy Adam sticking to his guns. He does have a plan. He anticipated that our young kids, our prospects, would be in the NHL and do what they did in the minors and things like that. It doesn't work that way. And Adam's made a miscalculation. But you don't kill the rebuild. It is what it is. We do have some rock stars. But if we added some character guys, some leaders to help the influence there as well, I know this roster is built for success. Don't blow it up, my goodness. I love the program, Bulldog, and the staff. Continue the good work. And everyone in YouTube, listen, continue the cheer. The Bills are looking great. There will be a championship in Buffalo, and I will be at that parade, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Cheers to Newfoundland. All right. I don't know. I can't definitively say that's the first time I fielded a call from Newfoundland or the Maritimes, but I enjoyed it very much. I think it's a lot. This is a part of my initial presentation about the Marner thing. I think it's a lot to assume that he's not a good character guy. And I look, Paul can disregard the Canadian media, or however he phrased it, anointing Marner as a Selke Trophy finalist. I happen to respect that he was a Selke Trophy finalist. I don't think they'd throw those around carelessly. So I think he's a more well-rounded player than he gets credit for. There's so much blame to go around that I think he's getting... I'm not saying he hasn't performed the way they need him to when it matters the most. You know, except for assisting on the go-ahead game-winning goal in Game 6 in a must-win situation. But, you know, other than that, he's earned the skepticism. I get it. My walking-off point for this conversation, as ridiculous as it may be because of the Sabres standing, I don't think they're attracting Mitch Marner or Sam Bennett or Brad Marchand or Eric Cernak. I mean, I just think they're going to have a really hard time pulling guys into the boat for no small reason that the guy whose, you know, vision and rebuild here that our caller from Newfoundland wants to credit Kevin Adams for, you know, put a sign out front of the arena saying no one, you know, our party sucks. Like they got the Simpsons Our Party Sucks cake, courtesy of the GM. So, you know, the reputation of the organization is in a very bad spot. And my point about Marner is simply about beggars and choosers and not being so mighty. I don't think Marner's a perfect fit. But if for some reason, I can't think of one other than logistics, which is his family's from around Toronto and Buffalo's close. That's it. All right. And maybe that's all you need, right? But if he wanted to take your call, if he was interested in entertaining the idea of playing here, I'm so desperate at this point organizationally that even if it's not a perfect fit, I'm going to find a way to make it work. Oh, where am I going to put him? I don't know. I'm going to let J.J. Paterka wander off into one of the Great Lakes. I don't care. I'll do whatever I got to do. Because 100 points versus the 50 or 60 is a big difference. So this idea, to me, I have a feeling Paul and I are going to be butting heads about this all summer until Marner signs, you know, for 7 years and $14 million a year with the LA Kings. We'll be butting heads about this. It'd be the most pointless argument you've ever heard, because the chances of him wanting to come here, I think, practically don't exist, okay? All I'm saying is if that were a mistake, if his agent Darren Ferris and Mitch Marner are out there going, man, I've always wanted to play in Buffalo. I love going down there. I love 9/11 Tavern. Like, whatever. I have no idea what could possibly attract. I got to Wings already. It's day one of this. I'm at Wings, okay? And his family lives, you know, 2 hours away. If one of the best players to ever hit free agency wanted to take your call, I am not interested in listening. I guess I'm going to be pretty bullheaded about this, which will be a problem. I'm not interested in listening to an argument about how he doesn't fit. I've not been to the playoffs in 14 years. I will make it fit. I will build you whatever you need built. What do you want? I'll figure it out. You want skates made out of seashells? I'll figure out a way to make that happen for you. Like, I need anything I can get my hands on. So,
ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. What shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it. Sure. If I could objectively just look at the market and pick out players that I'm going to land, I don't know that Marner would be at the top of my list either. I don't know about Marchand at his age, but the Sam Bennett idea that Paul is liking sounds great to me. And likewise, if he wants to take your call, I'm going to overpay him out the wazoo. Just because he took my call. That's the state of things with the Buffalo Sabres. I don't know. I'm grateful for the call from Newfoundland, but Adams' vision, man, I'm struggling with that. 803-0550 is the number. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR. All right, rolling towards the top of the hour. We're going to get Brian Koziel in just a few minutes here for his thoughts on the weekend's action on the links. Second major of the year, PGA Championship, won by Scotty Scheffler. So we'll pour over that with Brian coming up here in about 10 minutes. Real quick, want to mention a promotion that we got going, but it's only for another couple of weeks here. This Odyssey VIP golf card. You've heard the Morning Show guys and Jeremy White specifically doing some longer form spots here with different people who are involved with this, different people who are sponsoring it. Brett Blakely from Encore Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, and others. This card, $129. It's a $328 value. So you're talking about 61% savings, almost $200 in savings, $199 in savings. What you get with the card, 18 holes with a cart at Diamond Hawk Golf Course. You get Golf Dojo indoor golf simulators. You get an hour there. Shamrock Hills Golf Club, which you may remember as Holland Hills, that 18 holes with a golf cart included. Attica's 10th hole and golf course included around there. A dozen Encore. I mentioned Brett from Encore. Encore Golf, a dozen of those balls valued at $40. Bobolink, 18 holes. We're going to go play some par 3 under the lights. A $25 certificate to our buddy Rick Zurek's Golf Warehouse. Destroyer Park Golf as well is included in this. So a lot of different, a lot of varieties there. And maybe some places that, like for instance, myself, I've never played Attica, so I'd be interested in doing that. I've played most of these other places a time or two of those. It's been a while since I've been to Bobolink. Anyway, the point is, get to WGR550.com and the Get My Perks section of the website and find your way to the Odyssey VIP golf card for 2025. Great value and an opportunity for you to maybe, you know, push yourself outside of the places you normally go because you've got this card, which is a huge discount involved. Again, getmyperks.com is where you can find the details on the WGR VIP golf card. Getmyperks.com. Speaking of golf, the host of Tee to Green, as well as our Sabres pre and post and intermission host, Brian Koziel, will be with me right after this, so do stay tuned. We'll pour over Scotty's big win yesterday at the PGA Championship when we continue. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.